you so much for joining us here at Queer at Heart, everybody. Today on the show, we have Tanya Sams. And on Instagram, you're It's Tanya Time. Tanya, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm really good. I've been really looking forward to this interview with you.
Cyber see you.
I know. We're isolating. And you look quarantine fabulous.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Just kind of work with what you've got. I put on a little lipstick and it brightens my day. So
it's a good shade though. I like it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You are, would you say that you're known for your tech company or being on The Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Oh, good question. So, you know, that's a really funny question. And it comes up over and over again on The Housewives because I feel like the Housewives fans and communities are all like, you aren't anybody until you're on The Housewives. So girl, go back to where you came from. Okay. And for me, you know, I've just been quietly heads down sort of doing my thing, working in the technology and startup space for the past decade. Before that, I was a registered nurse. I'm from Toronto.
You are from Toronto.
Yeah, born and raised in Toronto.
And you're practicing nursing in Toronto and then yes. New York.
Yeah. Actually, I'll tell you my fun fact right now. This is because, and I think this is kind of rare. I was in nursing school when SARS broke out. So this is actually this, yes. And a lot of my nursing school colleagues were quarantined, actually tested positive for SARS. So this is like my second coronavirus outbreak.
I remember that epidemic so clearly.
Yes.
About 15, 16 years ago. It's when I actually started coming to Toronto from London. I grew up in London, Ontario. Mm. And so I like basically came out of the closet and then busted. I was like, okay, I'm gone.
Like, I gotta get out of this town.
But okay, so you were practicing nursing here. You went to New York.
Yeah, I went to New York. I was practicing nursing there. And then I ended up moving to Atlanta. And that's kind of around the time I really got into entrepreneurship and startups. And then fast forward 2 years ago, I found myself on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. So it's kind of like what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Has anyone ever heard of you before you're on The Housewives of Atlanta? I don't know, but I was alive and well before then. And now, you know, it's kind of a great platform for, you know, to talk about what you're doing, what excites you, what you're passionate about. And I've had a lot of fun on it.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it also gives it like a whole kind of new, fresh take because you're... Like, you know, you're a graduate from McGill in genetics and biology. Yes. I've done the research. You have a startup hub venture capital fund based in Atlanta, a company that you started to, you know, you want to get more women and minorities into the technology field. So that was the vision for you, right?
Well, here's the thing. My vision was bigger than that. I'd worked in startups and tech. I'd been helping founders in the Atlanta area, early stage founders really build successful technology companies. And then I got on the show and I was very inundated by requests for, you know, wait, you're working in tech, you're building a business, help me. And so I sort of launched the Ambition Fund to be broader than that. I wanted to help underrepresented founders that wanted to build scalable, successful businesses. And so it wasn't just in this narrow silo of tech, and it wasn't just for the typical founder. So what was really important to me was calling, you know, my fund under this umbrella of underrepresented founders, which wasn't just Black women, it wasn't just people of color, it also includes like
LGBTQ.
Yes.
Okay, the letters go on and on.
Okay, I know. Sorry, guys. But, you know, that was really important to me because here's the thing. Like, historically, if you look back at people who have been super successful in the technology world, it's typically the pale male.
Yeah, it's true.
Forgive me for saying that. And, you know, oftentimes if you
the
don't
pale
look
male, I like that.
What that mold is walking in, they're like, oh, I don't get your thing. And I don't get your business. This isn't something I'm going to fund. And that goes beyond just people of color.
Oh yeah. 100%. And I'm so happy that you've said that because when I first met you, I knew like you had magic. Like you were a magic individual. I was like, oh my God, because it wasn't expected, like, you know, to be in the Real Housewives of Atlanta. And then you're super intelligent, super bright, super smart. super like you're a socially conscious person trying to make a difference.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That honestly is like, whew, high praise. Cause I really, you know, I strive to do that. I've always been that person. I think like, it's just, that's
amazing. And I know that. I see that in you. I was like, this is, you have always been historically this person. And you know, the impression I get is you have a really huge queer following, and what you're doing with your company is you kind of invite the LGBT communities and minorities and women to join and become a part of that industry.
Yeah.
So you started this startup company a couple of years ago?
Yep. Okay. So my first sort of venture into it was Tech Square Labs, and I started that alongside my fiance and some other partners. And basically it was just, we wanted to create a space in Atlanta, like right in the heart of sort of our tech hub, that was super welcoming for people of color and early stage entrepreneurs. The place where you felt like you didn't have to go and be afraid to ask the question because someone would be like, didn't you read blah, blah, blah's thesis philosophy on whatever? Because that's not how we're going to build successful entrepreneurs. It's finding a place where you can go, you can be around other like-minded people that are super accepting, that, you know, might not have had the pedigree of saying like, oh, my dad was a CEO at a Fortune 1000 company. That's where I've learned everything and get all my connections from. But hey, I can go to this place, I can work out of here, I can get information, I can get access to mentors and capital and all these things that I think are really key and clutch to success, no matter who you are and what your background or pedigree was. Mm.
Because you're the one in charge now.
I mean, that was the great thing. You know, you can choose
anybody you want.
You know, and that is one of the beauties of people are like, why did you want to do this? And I was like, you know, there's something to be said for being afforded the opportunity to give back to other people, and you can do what you want, you know? And so I was able to create programs and ideas, and it's almost like throwing noodles at the wall to see what sticks, what works, but hey, you can keep trying and innovating and pivoting and doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's incredible. And, you know, I think that you're just going in all the right directions. That's all I can say.
Oh, thanks.
You're very welcome. Tell me something. How did you start? How did this whole Real Housewives of Atlanta thing start for you? Like, was it a shock to you as well?
Yeah. Okay. So really, I mean, it 100% came out of the blue. You know, I never would have guessed. I'll tell you, like, if I back up a little bit, you know, we spend a lot of time between here, San Francisco. We had a place out in San Francisco, which is like the tech hub of the world, but like, you know, I've always had a passion for traveling and going all sorts of places. And my work, you know, puts me in boardrooms, just all sorts of different rooms. And inevitably, I would walk into a room, you'd get chatting, and you know, I'm pretty social. People would be like, oh my gosh, you're from Atlanta, you're a Black woman. Do you know any of the housewives? Mm-hmm. All the time. Yeah. All the time. And I'd be like, no, you know, you sort of know them from the social scene, but et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, when the opportunity came to me to be like, hey, would you like to start, you know, you should be filming with some of the girls. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And I give a lot of credit to my fiance because he's like a wacky entrepreneur who's always like, YOLO, why not? And I was like, what? Huh? And he was like, why not?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, all right, well, let's see what happens. And here I am 2 years later. The second reunion just aired. What a crazy, crazy virtual reunion. We had to do it in COVID-19 times where we all filmed in our house. And yeah, we'll see what happens next.
Yeah. And so you've been on, so this is the second season, right?
Yes.
Do you foresee yourself being on there for just as long as, like what, for as long as you feel?
Yeah. You know, and I think that's the joy of the position I'm in. You know, I have other businesses and stuff that I can always fall back on. So, you know, I love the show. I love, love, love the show. I love
And you're an amazing contribution to the show.
Oh my God. I appreciate that because, you know, friends of the show, it's like interesting our role, but I love that role. I love the show. I love the fans. I love the community. I'm telling you, like, I love it. And especially just in these crazy corona times, being able to communicate and just talk to everyone on Instagram or social media or Instagram Live. It's been even, it's, I'm telling you, you get deep relationships, surprisingly, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's, well, that's the thing is like, you know, it's funny when you don't, like, when you're not expecting things.
Yeah.
You know, and you, like, you expect, you have high expectations, but you don't attach yourself to anything. And so you get surprised by what, you know, the universe kind of brings to you. And
oh my gosh, so true.
Because you're so open, right? You become this open shell to everything. Yeah.
So I'll say, like, you know, oftentimes, and especially, like, you know, the older you get, people will ask you, like, what's your 5, 10, 15-year career trajectory? Where do you want to see yourselves to be? And I love those questions because I do feel like it helps to give a roadmap. But I'm also definitely the type of person that's not, that doesn't mind blowing that away and being like, let's try this. And the universe does bring you amazing things.
It does. You know, it's like, if you just clear, I say to people sometimes, if you just clear that mind up a little bit, you become a vacuum to opportunities, you know? So I feel like you're definitely on, like, you know, you're on that direction, living your dream and being like, you know, being of total service to others. Like, you know what I mean? And look at, like, you're living this awesome life that people are looking up to because, you know, you're living, you're very genuine about what you're doing and it comes through. People see that on social media. And so, yeah. So
I appreciate that.
Thank you for doing what, thank you for doing, living your dream and doing what you're doing. Cause I think that that really helps others, minorities, women, LGBT community, sort of look at that and be like, oh, hey, you know what? I could also do this.
Well, you know, and that's something that I've become more in tune to the more I'm on the show, because I feel like when I went on the show at first, and I think this speaks to, like, your audience as well. When I went on the show at first, people did not know what to make of me. They're like, that Black woman is kind of corny. She's kind of cheesy. She's quirky. She's nerdy. Like, they just kept throwing out all these different, you know, names for how to categorize me or what I was, because I was different than perhaps the girls on the show. And I think, you know, I am who I am, and there's so many types of, I mean, just the world is so broad in terms of, like, who we are as, you know, a woman, a Black woman, a this, a Canadian, all these things. And I just think that one of the most, you know, reaffirming things is getting notes from other people being like, oh my gosh, I see a little bit of my corny, goofy self in you. Thanks for being on TV. And that was one of the real big reasons why I wanted to go on the show, because, you know, there's all these stereotypes of what people should be like, and we're so diverse and broad that it's actually kind of fun to see, you know, the response to that when people are like, oh, she's kind of like me, or she's not like me, but I like to see that because I've only seen a lot of the same. And I think that's kind of a wonderful thing.
It is a wonderful thing. And you've kind of just kind of thrown off the crowd because, you know, like, here's the thing. Like, when I first met you, I had no idea.
Yeah, I was on Sean's show. That was a good time. It was right before quarantine.
I know, right before quarantine. And you're still looking amazing, by the way. And I've said this already. But I mean, when I looked you up, I was like, oh my God, there's just so much to this human being. And when I saw you, it was just like, you're so full of light and magic. And like, it was evident to me, you were here to make a change. And so thank you for that. And also, anybody who is not watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta, please watch Tanya on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh.
And look her up. She's on Instagram. It's Tanya Time.
Yes.
Yes. And before we, you know, cap it up, is there anything else you'd like to share with us about?
Oh my gosh. Well, I will say this COVID period's been really interesting. We're still at home here in Atlanta. I think Toronto's on a very similar lockdown, but it's been really fun. One of the things that I think that I'm most happy about is I sort of had this book club that I've now launched, and
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And it's been so much fun and such a great outlet and joy for me. So basically we meet every Thursdays on Instagram Live, and I pick a book of the month and we break it down and we sit there and, like, literally shoot the tea have a glass of wine and talk all about these books. And then we culminate in a Zoom party with the author. Okay. So we've had so many. I had, do you know Gary Jannetty?
Yes, I've heard of him.
You have to follow him. I love him and his partner.
Gary Jannetty. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So he was one of our authors and they're so funny. So if you don't follow him, like, you've got to follow him now because
I will follow him right when I finish here.
Oh my gosh. He's probably one of my favorite authors. So I had his book last month and it's called Do You Mind If I Cancel? And it sort of chronicles a little bit about how he, not so much how he came out, but how his memoir of like, his memoirs from like early young age as a kid, not so much his coming out, but just growing up gay, his first boyfriend. It's so funny. And it's just like, you'll get a laugh out of it. And one of the things that I really loved about that was we had a bunch of Black women on there talking to Gary. Brad joins in and they're all like, I never thought I would have connected with your memoir so well, because here I am, I'm a Black woman, but like, and that was really very powerful for me, seeing how, you know, if you're able to share stories, people can see the human connection. And sometimes you just have to like put those mirrors up that it's more about human connection. And people are like, I love this. And, you know, it seems like such a simple thing, but sometimes people aren't really mixing outside their groups and silos of friends. So that was really important and fun for me. And now we're on to another book. And I'm just about to launch our fourth book next. Actually, I'll give you a sneak peek of it, guys.
Ooh.
This is our next book.
Perfect Find by Tia Williams.
Yes, and it's like a juicy sort of love story, but set for this 40-year-old woman who sort of is unsure about where her job's going to take her. So it's just been a lot of fun, like finding fun ways to do stuff. And like podcasts like yours have really gotten me through this quarantine time.
Well, you know what? I'm excited to have you on the show, and I'm excited to have you. Hopefully we can have you on the show again.
Absolutely.
And what did I want to say? There's something else I had to say. Oh, it goes to show you that when you're the type of person who lives wholeheartedly and when you're a type of person who feels worthy of connection, it shows that you can find connection with anything, anywhere. You know, and so that's, it's a perfect example of the book that you're reading right now, is that you found connection in this book, and it was least expected for you.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, he's a really funny author, and he wrote for Will and Grace, which, like, I mean, was everyone's Bible TV show, and a lot of other funny shows like South Park, and he now is just picked up a show where he sort of makes fun of Prince George. Mm-hmm. And he kind of, Prince George in there is like, Prince George is like a little queer, is basically what he's saying. He's growing up and he's so hard on his royal family. And so he makes all these hilarious jokes that you just love. And I just liked, I genuinely love Gary. And so I just loved sharing his book and, you know, just different messages that you can put out to people and sort of mix up markets. It's fun for me. And I also attribute that to, you know, I mean, growing up in Canada, I feel like I think it was so much more special than I ever could have understood, you know, and whether or not I could, argue this with a lot of different people, but just there is a lot of diversity there. And it is something that I think we embrace. And, you know, having spent so long in the United States, it's very different and it's very special.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, like, Toronto is a very special place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and I've never been to Atlanta, so I'm gonna have to come out there and visit you at some point.
It's a good time.
Yeah, and so are you here often?
I try to get there a couple times a year. My family is all still there, so I try to get back. And I have so many friends, like my group of like lifelong friends are all there. So a couple times a year, hopefully. That can stay, and you know, air travel isn't completely decimated. I can get back more and more and more.
Well, you know, we hope to see you here this summer.
Yes, I really hope to be back this summer.
Maybe in August there'll be a plane.
Yes, I mean, people are flying apparently. I don't know. Is the Canadian border open yet?
Oh no, it is. Actually, sorry, I'm wrong. So you can travel within Canada, as far as I know, if it is a must. And so
quarantine.
Yeah, but okay. I feel like, you know, one thing when ask you, Tanya, is where do you see the future? How do you see us getting through this?
Oh my gosh, this like is the crystal ball question.
Yeah, how do you see us getting through it?
You know what? I honestly, this question plagues me because I just can't tell. You know, I've been really strict doing my social distancing. You know, I was in Toronto in February and then I actually went on a safari right after I left Toronto. Like, and even at that point I was like, okay, I think this is, I don't know. But then, you know, as soon as we got back, the world sort of shut down. So fast forward, it's March, April, it's May now. And we're seeing this lifting of all these restrictions. And I'll speak, I mean, I know Trinity Bellwoods Park was in the news like crazy.
Oh my God, I can't, everybody, this freaking park thing has been all over the world. Oh my gosh,
but I mean, it's the same thing here. There's all these viral videos in Atlanta of crazy, like super dense populated parties. And so everyone's going, well, what's gonna happen? And I think the craziest thing is, one of two things is going to happen. Either this is just going to go away and everyone's going to get to say, ha, 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 I told you so. Or we're going to have some spikes. But I definitely think that there's something about this that's here to stay. But regardless of all that, I have trouble, you know, thinking about anything other than the 100,000 people that I know, for example, in the United States who have lost a family member or a loved one. Like, yeah. Everyone tries to wrap this and it's not that bad or it is that bad, but I just think like individually all, like even in Canada, I don't know what the numbers there are, but that to me is the hardest part of this and how, you know, those families move forward and just how isolating it must feel because everyone's like, ah, screw it. I'm going to the park. And they're like,
I know.
It's really tough.
It is really tough. And it's really tough for people to be with themselves. Like, you know, this is a time where we are forced to be with ourselves and, you know, maybe reflect, and not everybody's very like, you know, we're not all comfortable with being alone and not having going to a dinner or going to meet friends or going to a movie theater or going to a show, whatever it is. Like, it's a time where we've been forced, whether it's a good outcome or bad outcome, to be with ourselves. And it's hard for people. People are getting to, you know, that time now where we're starting to rebel a little bit. And we're just like, no, we can't do it. In my opinion, I don't know what's going to happen. But I think it's going to be something that we have to get used to.
Me too.
And, you know, we have to continue living our lives and getting used to it. And it's, you know, this is so hard to say. Unfortunately, you know, I guess the whole, I don't know how Sweden's doing, but they do the whole herd immunity. Right. People are going to have to pass and die. And it's unfortunate, but this is like the way it is going. And, you know, for us to get immune to it,
you know,
we're going to have to catch it, get immune to it. Blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, we're young and we could maybe handle it, but it's just becoming the new way of life.
And here's the tough thing. Like, I have to check myself and not judge like the young folks who are like, I'm going out and doing this because, you know, I've got a big space where I can be in. And I have lots of friends who don't have big spaces, or like you're saying, the mental toll of being locked inside is greater than, you know, they can possibly cope with. So they're like, I have to get out. So I just have to put, you know, that hat on. Yeah. And not judge folks, but it's just, we just don't know. I can't even guess. Like, are we gonna have our parades? I know Pride shut down.
Online. Somebody looked at me with a straight face last week and said, yeah. They're like, yeah, Pride's happening. It's happening online. And I was like, oh, okay. But it was like, it's just a new
era. I've tried to do a lot of fun things online, but like, there's nothing like the crush of bodies wearing like sequins and, you know, thongs, partying in the street to music all day long. Like, those are my things.
Tanya, thank you so much for being on the show. You're awesome.
That was so much fun. It was so great talking to you. And hopefully we can do this again in person. Please. In a real studio.
Yes.
Anytime. One day soon.
Okay. Tanya Sams at It's Tanya Time on Instagram. Do you do Twitter? You do Twitter as well.
I do Twitter. I'm Tanya Sam.
Tanya Sam on Twitter. And thank you so much again for being on Queer at Heart. And I look forward to doing this again with you. You're amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye, y'all. Thanks for listening to me.